Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, March 12, 2025.
My opinion, and this is riddled with my opinion, so I'm not, I'm open to discussion on what's best as we go forward, but in my opinion, those barrel-type awnings have too much of a commercial feel for what I think the city could project as a more hometown kind of an awning. So I would suggest that we try to avoid those kinds of awnings. We got Water Dog, which is soon to be Kismet Bagels. They did a great job on their facade. There's the, there's Flying Point again, Hattie G's again at a different time. 7311, they have retractable awnings. They always do a nice job. I think they've got, one of the things that I think they do well that I think that we can do better at restricting is the amount of coverage on the windows. And this is more of a code enforcement thing, but I think as part of our push to get the downtowns to be more attractive, you're not gonna win customers by having lots of things on your windows. You're gonna win them by the product you sell, by the impression that you make, by the welcoming atmosphere. But if you block that window, it becomes a wall, not a window. You don't see what's lively and happening on the inside, right? You see and you know, Peace Pie took a gamble with their facade, and then no one really knows what goes on in that one
luggage
store. It's kind of a mystery, but I think they sell luggage. But I think that this they caught them on a bad day. But or maybe caught them on the day of the pallet they drop off in the middle of Ventnor Avenue Day. That's the day that happens, right? This is a good one for code enforcement. You know, we're supposed to keep 3-foot walkways. It's ADA. It's not a rule for us to be, you know, it's 4-foot walkways. We're lucky to get 3 feet sometimes because people redesign the seating layout that we approve after the first meal that happens in these places, and then they creep out into the space. But you'll see, but back to the facades, they have a, Stella has a great awning. There's the barrel awning, although this doesn't seem to be as offensive to me because I think it's uniform and they do a nice job with the upkeep at Caldwell. They do a nice job there. And again, I'm going to walk you through these districts. The next one is kind of a hybrid space. We know what's going to happen at the school, but you do have a couple of incidental businesses before you get into that area. You've got the Walgreens, and you've got Zorro's. So Zorro's is a combination of awnings there and a lot of seating. I will say the one thing that I think that we should consider in the Zorro's is they have these LED lights around the windows. And I think now is the time that Ventnor should start to think about separating itself from cities like Atlantic City that have LEDs around all the windows. That sort of bodega flashing lights I don't think that's my opinion. Flashing lights are not going to bring people into your store. It's the product, it's the social media campaign, it's the word of mouth.
It may make you stressful.
And those flashing lights, right? And they also look a little bit like they're not professionally put in. They're usually put in with tape, you know? And it does kind of, and so the idea, as we'll see later on, is that we're trying to separate ourselves from somebody driving a new person that's looking to invest or spend time or wallet share in Ventnor coming from Atlantic City. We want to make it more likely for them to pull over and go to our shops because it's welcoming and doesn't have that that kind of shocking effect. So I think if this building goes through with what it has, I think this is going to be an anchor. If they do that mixed use where these grass areas become patios for restaurants, I think this could be an anchor. With the homes that are potentially going back there, it's going to be a lot of customers back there that are going to want to go places that are walkable, right? They're not going to want to get in their car necessarily if they don't have to. So, 36, 37 homes, right? This to me is one of the biggest offenders. Dollar General came in, we talked to Joe is leading the charge with them. They have a big white facade. I actually am talking with the beautification committee. They want to do a case study and try to help them do something more with the facade. But here's an example of, if there is no rules, this is what you get. You get a big blank wall with a sign that simply recreated the sign that was there. And it's unfortunate, because if this was taken in a different approach, if this was taken like a storefront, something that had a general store appeal to it, that had an awning and it was wainscoted down to block up and reduce the mass of this great big wall, and it had a bit of a throwback appeal, I think they would double their sales. I think people would stop there. Right now they're getting people off of the bus stop and people that use Dollar General because it's more convenient around them, but I think they're missing out on sales. And I think this is an example of the awnings that I think can be unattractive. You see those big, the big numbers, the window treatments are old and not thought of. There's a lot of stuff in there that's been there I don't think it's changed in 20 years since I bought my house. I think that's part of what we can stipulate, is the thing that you have to, is that what's behind the windows, and maybe that's something that just happens organically. Moving down the street, this property, I believe, is delinquent, so it may not be an issue as much, but you can see what it's done, but you can see how it's kind of taken its own course over the years. Like it's kind of, there hasn't been any, if you look at these houses, these places critically, you can really see that there really is no rhyme or reason to what our downtowns have become. It's just whatever the particular operator has the money to do and what their preference is. And I think now it's time to lose the, there it is, to add a little bit more thought to what our area looks like. And they're the LED window folks. This, if you look at this, look at the peeling paint on the sign, look at the air conditioner that's there. I mean, we've all driven by this hundreds of times, but have we ever really looked at it and how unattractive it is, you know, and what they really should be representing our town like. This little business here, I think is under designed. I think this is an attractive little facade, but it's never really come into its own in terms of what it could look like. But look at the side of it, right? It's not attractive right now. But could you imagine that with a couple of awnings and a specialty shop, and maybe some plantings around it, and I think you'd get a better look. Here's another one that's kind of goes under the radar in a lot of ways. The awning is now a different kind of design. Bloom. This building, I tried to get a shot from across the street. I hope I put it in the right order, but that copper facade on that building, I think we can put a tree there now. It's dedicated a stump there. right. But look at the windows there. No one's really seeing what's in those windows when they're driving by, and that's what I think you'll see towards the end. Bloom Liquor has a lot of product in the window. And they've got some of those older barrel style awnings, but that building is really a unique building. You know, this has a lot of curb appeal if it was really thought of in a different way, and it had some it had a little bit more thought.
The turquoise is copper siding.
It's copper patina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the old Los Amigos, right? It had that kind of a detail.
Oh, in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was beautiful, right?
Great earth.
Mm-hmm. Someone stole it at one point. But look at the windows, right? These are the types of things that we really shouldn't be allowing, to be honest. It's not This particular block, I think, suffers from some concrete work that needs to be done, and when we get to it later, I'll talk about these planters, how I think they're outdated. But this is Café Jadour.
Closed.
Closed, right. So this is an opening, as long as you have some primer to go over the pink. And
even when they were open, they were closed.
Even when they were open, they were closed. To be fair, they, you know, they gave it a shot. You know, I think this might have worked if they actually had a product out that would have been, you know, that appealed to people, but they never really took off. And honestly, if you look at this streetscape here, there's some uniqueness to that. It has some if there were codes enforced that had awnings and signage and some type of more code enforcement, I think, stronger, that could be a really attractive block.
And landscaping.
And landscaping. Trees, yep, we're going to get to trees and trash cans. There's another empty block for a tree, and you see across the street, this was an older one because there's a house going up there, but, you know, I think Dunkin' Donuts is not everybody's cup of coffee, so to speak, but they did an unbelievable job compared to what was there for decades, the gas station that sat, and as well as Pliables, which is right next door. But if you're seeing these, I'm hoping that you're seeing these with a bit of a critical eye, in a new way, to say to ourselves, what can we do as a board to encourage? I'm going to just plug and unplug. To encourage more thoughtful facade design. I think sometimes people just have to be told that this is what the city expects. So I'm hoping as we go forward that when new applications come up, we can be more forceful about what we require. Crippers has always, again, in my mind, been one of those places that could really be attractive. It used to be a deli, right? It's got the windows. It's got if they put an awning on that, did some lighting, took those air conditioners out in some way, and paid a little bit more attention to their facade, I think they would get more foot traffic from people that don't necessarily go there. I think that the Arc does a nice job. They got a cloth awning. It has that kind of throwback feel to it. They're always tidy on the outside. They don't have a lot in the windows. I think they do a nice job. But again, if you look across the street, if this slide comes up, it has the potential to be a little downtown, right? One of the things that I think we can think about as a board, and maybe this is, I don't know where this falls legally, but the number of smoke shops. Should we be able to limit the number of smoke shops in town? There are literally hundreds in Atlantic City. Do we really need to be a place where there are more smoke shops? Because I can tell you, as a commissioner of public safety, over the years we have had to put somebody in undercover and say, what are you actually selling? And then found out that they're trying to sell more than what they're legally supposed to, like not just CBD, you know, they're selling other things. I think we can separate ourselves from the boom of smoke shops and CBD, marijuana dispensaries that have all the same kinds of things in Atlantic City. We have no limitation on them now, so more of them could come if we don't.
Well, that's a good point. Let that stuff be the highlight in Atlantic City. We don't have to replicate.
We don't. We're a walking distance, or a quick drive, right? This is, I think, Santucci's. The infrastructure is there to be a great space. Claudia's, I think, is a, has a, has a, has a decent, outpouring. I think what happens in the, I think Agnes's, has a nice facade. They encroach a little bit on walkways from time to time. And then we know what's happening here, towards Sapore. We're talking, I'll get to the, we are going to be, removing all these stumps because we're fully park mobile now, so those will all go away. Ron Lapidus, I always thought that he's got a decent facade. He's got a, it does, it's nothing that's offensive. It's, it's always well kept, right? Vince, I don't know if Vince is still open.
He is.
Is he? He's only taking old customers or something? I don't know.
I go in and I say, give me $3.50 for the haircut, and that's what I get.
He's still there. Go in there since high school.
That's nice.
Still a nice, this building was recently renovated. It looks really nice. We are, like I said, we are going through looking at other facades. As we go closer to Wawa, I think this block looks fantastic. I think, Mike, and I'll say this if you weren't here, I think your storefront looks fantastic. I think it's
going to change next year.
Oh, I'm sure it'll look good. For the worse. But I think this block, it's always well kept, doesn't have a lot of stuff in the windows, it's always, it's an anchor on that block. And I think the ice cream place did a nice job too. I think that has a, and I think you both benefit from the foot traffic. You can't park on that street in the summer because people want to stop and see. They have a good social media game. They have flavors that are, you know, that they make themselves. That kind of thing generates other businesses. Wawa is Wawa. It's a lunch and a show, always. So, and the theater, these are older pictures. I didn't get to the place next to it, but we all have seen that block as it extended. The Sacco's building now, I think that block is really coming around, but it's got more to grow. I think this building is just a mess. There's another smoke shop there now. Right. And the nail salon does the same thing the other nail salon does. It's placards all over the windows. The building itself is probably a rental. It's not really kept up well. They've got your satellite dishes there. I don't think, is Bella Pet Spa still there?
It is. Yeah.
So they painted those windows. I think if you really look at our code, it says that there should be more percentage of glass than paint on those, so they're probably in violation. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that we can do better enforcing. But poor Jagielka's sits next to Down Beach Liquor. I've actually done some sketching for him, but that old facade is I think he wants to do something, but he doesn't really have the motivation to do it. But to me, that it could be a really interesting facade if he took out some of those. He's got like blankets up in the windows and things like that. These are things that I don't think we should really be standing for if we want to separate ourselves from other downtown areas. To me, this is one of the really toughest blocks. You've got National Market. I think they're a little bit better now, but we can't just keep waiting for the market to improve and the buildings to improve around us and things get bought. We're seeing that in the homes, but I think it's time that we see more of it, right? I apologize, Rory, I missed your block when I went by. You've got that.
It always looks lovely.
It always does. The Heights. So moving into the Heights, you've got Fish and Whistle. I think this property right here, in my mind, is could be something just like Fish and Whistle. So it's a bigger lot. I think someone eventually would make that same kind of pattern, and it would become a starting point for that downtown. There's a familiar site, right? And this other building that we know, this brown building with the green upper section, That's a good start. I think 133 North Dorset is vacant, has been for a while. But if, for me, I think this section of Dorset Avenue has a lot of potential. You know, Ventnor Coffee, as quirky as it is, I think it has a it ticks a few boxes on what a good facade can look like. Never understood why the L is higher than the rest of the letters on liquor store. Community liquors.
That's a liquor
store. Now you're all gonna have to see that when you look at it, right? And it's a par-ing kind of thing happening there. So these are sign codes that we can enforce, but look at the windows, they're covered. You can't see into that. You can't, I think there is that bodega sort of like what a little bit of off-putting in a lot of ways about. And across the street, those are so small and not well trafficked. I think those are probably ripe for mixed use type of development down the road. And then this building where I used to go roller skating is got some great shops in it. You know, it's got a Capri Pizza, it's got the golf place, it's got the barber shop, it's got the best chocolate chip cookies you can find at Sasser's, and I understand Enchanted does a really good business, but it's really not thought of in terms of a facade. If you look closely at this, it's a mishmash of what I think we can do better if we codify these types of things. So I think there's an easy start for us. Tomorrow morning, I'm meeting with a landscape that we've already committed to swapping out trees in the district and starting in the theater district area. I just picked some of the most interesting examples of trees that are actually out there right now. So the thing about trees is that, you know, they're not the city's responsibility. So this is something that the city is going a little bit outside because it is the right of way, so we can do it. But that right of way is really the property owners. So I feel it's important for us to try to put a foot forward to replace some of these dead and dying trees or missing trees. To replace the trash cans, which, as much as we appreciate what the beautification committee does, they've seen better days. Everything needs to be replaced, and we're getting rid of the old stumps where the poles were, and we're in my opinion these old 1970s planters need to just go away or go to the park, and we'll work with getting something that's more attractive in the future. And also, it doesn't take up as much space on the street. So how do you do this? You can do historic district regulations, you can do design review boards, you can do architectural standards and Main Street programs and facade improvement programs, but all that takes time, money, volunteers, and it's all too cumbersome, in my opinion. So what I'm suggesting is that we do things like improve our zoning codes and overlay districts. Other cities do it, like Portland and Chicago. They use overlays, design overlay zones to regulate building facades, require transparency in windows for ground floor restaurants, and encourage pedestrian-friendly designs. Chicago does some other similar things with glass storefronts and signage. Signage and lighting regulations. Strict rules that limit size, placement, and illumination in commercial areas to prevent visual clutter and maintain a unified streetscape. We're trying to make a place here. We're trying to create a place making Ventnor City's walkable shopping district. And these kinds of things are inherently what people perceive when they see, when you go into a well-designed space, you perceive these things. Neon signs are allowed in specific neighborhoods, but must conform to, like, you know, big open signs, big flashing signs aren't necessarily. So blade signage, this is Rhinebeck, New York. Rhinebeck, New York, people are literally waiting in line for everything that anybody has to sell in Rhinebeck, New York. Cookies, coffee, clothing. People go to Rhinebeck in these shopping districts because it's such a pleasurable experience. And the stores are vary from high end to restaurants. This is more of Rhinebeck. That's my daughter right there in the corner in the yellow hat. We went up there for a week for Thanksgiving. They put lights around all the trees. But take a look at the blade signage. So they have it all throughout. At night, they put some lighting on it. So as you're walking, it starts to signify what stores are there. It catches your eye. This is
pedestrian oriented.
Pedestrian oriented, right? Notice the windows. There's not a ton of things in the windows, right? No one's going to drive by and see that, you know, that sweater's on sale. They're going to go there because they want that sweater, you know, or that clothing. Or they went somewhere else and they were walking by and buying like old vinyl like I was and ended up buying sweaters, you know, like that's how this works. This is why malls were created, because you have all these options. So Rhinebeck is a great example of that. Closer by, Collingswood. Smaller walkways than we have, but the same idea. Blade signage, lighting that signs up the windows. Not a ton of things in the windows, but there are some. But look at the streetscape. It's not as cluttered. It's got the same vintage buildings as we have. They probably had their boom time when we did. So there's an opportunity to make our town look like some of these towns, and different from Atlantic City and even different from other cities. So I will say that I put these in here. We don't have to talk about them too much, but the overall guidelines would be the buildings, sidewalks, and awnings. These are things that we can incorporate into codify these things, the lighting, using LED rope lights should be removed. That's a tactic better suited for a highway than walkable, attractive downtown where they distract the eye from other storefront elements. So lighting, I think, is something that we can codify. And signage is things we can codify. The scale, the size, and blade signage, things that draw you into, and not too much text, right? Temporary banners are something that we don't allow. That's it.
I was gonna say, we haven't done a lot of it on the planning board, when I was in zoning, we did. There was many issues with signs, and we did enforce it. And, you know, somehow we got away from that, and you see some terrible signs. I know there were some newer signs that were introduced to the board that were so enormous, they just kind of like, that's all you can see. So the point is, there are ordinances on the books.
That's right.
I don't know that they couldn't be improved, but we definitely have ordinances about lighting, about sign size, how many signs you can have.
Right.
So to me, that's a great place to start. It might be easier than creating a whole new criteria.
I agree. I'm not saying that we have to reinvent it. I think we just need to look at, like we just looked at the city, our own city, with a critical eye. I think we have to look at those ordinances with a critical eye and really start to, as a board, talk about them when new things come up and enforce them on the city side.
But let these business districts know, and many of the businesses may be newer, they're not even aware of the fact that we actually do have ordinances that address that. So that would be a good place to start, by notifying these business owners that you're not in compliance. Yeah.
In the police department, when new things happen, we have to first educate, and then we enforce.
Yeah, give an opportunity to claim.
Give them the opportunity.
Yeah. And then if we want to tweak it and make some new ordinances, mm-hmm. not a problem.
Yeah, Sacco's is a good example. They didn't know that their signage was out of compliance, but they put all these things that they wanted to offer. And my own grandparents, we had a pizza shop for 30 years. They used to take, when they had it, when they wanted to put a sale on, they would take a paper plate and write slices $1 today, and they'd put it on the wall. I mean, it's the natural thing to do, but I think we can do better.
Absolutely.
And I think that we have to do it as a board and as a code enforcement.
I think you need to think about what kind of store attracts you to go into it. And usually, it's something that looks clean, uncluttered, maybe a couple items that you can see looking in that you want to explore, even if you're really not shopping for that particular item, you just want to see.
You're right. I mean, don't you want to go into those stores?
I'm going there next weekend.
I mean, these are stores that are, and the other thing about it is that they attract other similar store, other similar level stores, or other, like, there's furniture stores here, there's a art theater there, there's a huge restaurant, and then there's other little downtowns in upstate New York that that people go to as a tourist destination. Their downtown is. So I agree. I think it, and look, there's the plants that Rory and I talked about. The planters up against the side of the building, not on the curb side, because you need to have because we do every year. We get people that that have some type of handicap that call us and say, this particular restaurant has, I can't get by. I can't walk down the street.
Yeah.
I can't get by in my wheelchair. So we have to be sensitive to that. But mainly, I think if the one takeaway I would ask is that I can find the ordinances that we have on the books. I can circulate them, and we can maybe in a small group or even with the code enforcement to suggest how to strengthen them.
Absolutely.
All right.
I would like to invite our guests to also make comments. It's not just us board members.
I'd make a comment.
Hello, Rory Schaefer. Tim and I have been talking about this for a long time, at least the past year. And I agree with a lot of what you said. I think you have to be sensitive to why people are covering their windows. I know for the liquor store down on the north end, the sun comes directly into his store. So he needs to cover the windows so that it doesn't hit the liquor,
right,
and then it discolors the liquor. So in working with making these new ordinances, you need to be sensitive as to why people can't just have their windows totally open. And I know even like Giselke's, a lot of his windows are covered. He's got chocolates. So when that sun comes in,
right,
and it heats up that front window, it heats up the front of that store, and then we melt the chocolates. So you have to be sensitive as to, in developing a new ordinance, as to how it can be conducive to the type of business that's being affected by it. I agree with the awnings. I think that's a great idea because I think you would eliminate some of the signage problems that you have either with people having their signage in their on their glass in front of the windows. If we had awnings, then you can kind of, it's a
retractable.
Win-win because you're blocking the sun, but you're also, you know, doing the advertisement for what that business is. Now, I don't know if the city is capable of giving some kind of financial assistance or if there's a program out there by whatever government, but a lot of people can't just spend $5,000 to $10,000 putting awnings up. And a lot of us have uncooperative landlords. So any improvement that we do to our buildings or our stores falls on us.
Plus, I would say that we are a seasonal community in the sense that you get this influx of second homeowners coming in starting in May, leaving October, November, and then there's that period of winter,
right,
where there's so few people to be able to go to these stores,
right,
and that hurts business.
Right. So we don't, yeah, like you said, we don't have the, you know, in these communities that Tim pointed out, they're year-round communities. So they have income coming all the time. We close because we don't make enough business to pay for the electric. So, but some of these businesses, they just kind of maintain their expenses to get through the winter. So you have to be sensitive to that. We make our money with the influx of of tourists that come in into the city. The other thing is that as far as the trees and the planters, I know that Public Works has a great big watering system that was developed, and if they could get maybe some cooperation from Public Works to maintain, or at least help maintain, any kind of flowers, planters, trees, anything that's put throughout the city, because if you put the responsibility on the business owner, they'll die.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, we can't get cooperation from business owners to even do some of the things that VBA wants to do to help them. So there has to be something within the city that can help maintain them. We would like to put planters out in front of our members' businesses. We're prepared to buy the planters. I had six of them in front of my store, and they're self-watering. So all she need to do is stick a hose in a little hose in a little hole that's on the top of the rim of the planter. It fills it with several gallons of water, so you don't have to water it basically once a day, which would be great if the city had that big water system that they have to go around and just fill those planters.
Right.
Not asking the guys to sprinkle them or pull the weeds or anything, but just fill the water up until the little bobber comes up and says full.
Right.
So there's some simple solutions, but I think we have to kind of work together. And we will help in any way to talk to the businesses. If there are ordinances, give us a copy. We'll send them out to all the businesses. But I think, you know, we kind of have to work together.
Do you have any comments or about blade signs?
No, I think the only thing that we would like to see is some consistency. So you might have an ice cream store that has a 6-foot ice cream cone in front of it. Is that going to be, there has to be some kind of control, as opposed to, you know, a little clothing store that might have a 2x2.
There's so, in the ordinances that you have it, there's dimensions that you can't see.
Yeah.
Dimensions and how far they extend out. I mean, I think the fire department, police department, I don't know how they impede on what they do as far as if there's a fire or if there's something going on. But yeah, as long as there's some consistency, I mean, I think they should kind of be either all rectangle or at least, you know, within a, you know, if Mike wants to put a, something like that, or if he wanted to put a bicycle out, you know, in front of Mike's shop or whatever, as long as it's, you know, consistent like that. But yeah, that's where the ordinance is. Because I think some people might go crazy with it, so let's make the rules before we start making the changes.
Well, I was tied into how much frontage you have.
Right.
That size sign is acceptable and not offensive, and it doesn't block. And it's got, I know it has to be a minimum of 7 feet. I'd say 7.5 feet would be better.
Yep.
And it's not overpowering.
Right.
And it's not. It can't be that expensive.
Right.
No. It's a bracket and a sign.
Yeah.
Right. I think as you see them, do you notice that the extension away from the building is consistent?
Right. Yeah.
So there's one sign that's bigger that on the left side.
Yep.
That white sign is bigger, but it does not extend anywhere past the sign that's behind it, which is slightly smaller.
Right.
But still.
And there's a couple different shapes. They're round. One's the shape of a dog or a wolf.
And then I think that's one of the controls that you need.
Yes.
How far they extend out.
Yes. That's in the code.
And how far the wind can be? Cities as well, like the wind.
So good point. We're windy. So do we get the blade signs that sway in the wind?
Yeah, they all have hinges on them for that reason.
Right. Or, you know, so that's the other thing to.
Okay.
So, and that's the other thing, basically we're saying is make the rules.
If I can, okay.
Jane,
you know, we'll be glad to enforce it.
If I could just respond real quickly to a couple of things that Rory mentioned, because we have been working on this for a while. We will talk to the city about maintaining the plants and trees. We've worked with the green team to pick the right kinds of trees so that there's diversity. And the plantings around it will be native species on each tree. We also mentioned trash cans. So we have some block grants to replace the trash cans we have with new trash cans that are black like the county put out, so they'll all be similar. And I appreciate the ordinance help. I think that's a great idea for you to distribute it to your members, to have it, to start conversations about it, because there's always going to be questions, and we don't want to just show up and tell them they can't have feather banners, or that they have to take things off their windows. We have to educate first.
Right. We already have one new businesses that probably is in violation. So.
And awning help. Unfortunately, we've talked about this a lot. Every time I try to get some type of public money to help a private entity, that's the barrier. We as a city can't use taxpayer dollars with that much discretion. So I think there's other ways. There might be other ways to do it, but the city itself has a fiduciary responsibility to all the taxpayers and not put a personal business in front of them. Just like you said, businesses can't afford it. We can't pick winners and losers and say, we're going to give you $5,000, and what about him? Now we have to give every business $5,000.
Do you know if the SBA does anything like that?
I think there's a lot of places that do that kind of thing. I think I think the probably the quickest way of doing it is to find ways to raise money and create a nonprofit that could loan low interest or zero interest loans to give half of the money, and then the person pays it back, to give them people the opportunity to do that, and that way the money recycles.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a little bit over time, as awnings can last for a while. To me, that's probably the most likely thing to do. I still think if you're improving things just a little bit, you're still improving them. So maybe there's one way to start that with a seed money from somewhere. And I can look into that. I can have our grant writer.
We have a mixer next week, and I'd like to present some of these ideas to the members that are attending the mixer. I mean, you're welcome to come and make the presentation. But for those businesses that can afford it, you know, if they know that this is something that we're trying to get everybody to come on board with, it might be a good start for those businesses that say, well, yeah, I can replace my awning, or I can put a new awning.
Maybe start with a blade sign.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be that expensive.
Or something like that.
I'm sorry, Jay. Yeah. I overlooked.
Yeah. Roy, thank you very much. The comments were great, as always. I think that there's a gold opportunity here in that one of the things the city needs is to expand it to a shoulder seat eventually, is to move the city forward, to add more weeks to our season itself and have more venues come in. And I think that to bury the program, what we're doing here within our ordinances, is kind of losing it. I think this is a game changer in the community, along with things. And it deserves a little bit of notification and PR and positive thinking and input to A, motivate the merchants, B, motivate the residents, and then motivate those who are actually putting this thing together. And so you can do an overlay with your ordinances, but you also then create one ordinance within that is the summation of the overlay, so that when somebody comes in to look at what they have to do, it's all there. They don't have to go through 26 pages of everything and not understand it and have no questions. So it's simplification, just that somebody can just follow the guidelines of what we want to do. I think that will give a better presentation and make it easier to follow. And Roger, you know, you do these things, I'm sure I'd like you to chime in on how to put this together. But there are some of the goals that I see that we're going to. And then the idea is that we're trying to redevelop, like we did North Beach, we do other searches, we're creating neighborhoods and so on. And this is more or less a redevelopment of our commercial districts, is what it's an improvement. It's not just signs, it's an improvement of that district. And so that's the theme, but their programs that go later, you know, as far as the financing goes, lighting, street lighting, and all those other things that go on. They're separate programs that are not tied to this at all. But I think that's maybe a better way to approach it, the theme, and to look at it and really There's a lot of good thought here.
I think you're right. I think the goal here is to set an attainable goal. So if we can start with clarifying and strengthening our zoning and our with the means of facades and the signage and lighting, and start with that and fill in with these other things, fill in with trash cans, trees, and stumps from old the meters, get rid of those, and then also enforce, you know, we did a big push enforcing sidewalks. We're lucky because this new development is where some of the worst sidewalks are, in front of that old vacant lot. In front of, that's some of the worst sidewalks in Ventnor. So hopefully we include them replacing that sidewalk. I can't imagine they're going to last construction anyway. They're almost in rubble as it is. So what I guess what we're all saying is let's not be an unguided missile of a downtown. Let's give it some strong guidance and let these other things fill in. And then you're going to get better operators, because there's going to be money to be made.
And I think with the amount of investment that people will have tearing down old houses, they're building these luxury houses, there's money that's coming into this town.
Yeah.
And I would assume that they would like to have a nice town that their house is in. So improving the business districts is improving their,
right,
their properties and all. Yeah. But if you could make a concise kind of like ordinance as far as what you expect new businesses or existing businesses to have, we will assist in getting people to comply. Right now business is just open and they do whatever the hell they want to do, and then all of a sudden they find out that they're in violation. So
also, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, this might actually be an opportunity to put some of the landlords on notice. Like,
absolutely,
when you're renting a space, you don't want to put more money into it.
Yeah. But
if they understand that they're not going to have a rentable space if
right.
they don't comply with certain things that we would require, then they're going to have an empty store.
That's a really good point. I think the responsibility is on the property owners, and there are a handful of these businesses, your building included, that are absentee.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And
he lives in Florida.
You know.
Yeah.
They know where to mail a check to, though.
They talk.
You know where to mail. He knows where to mail. They can get his checks mailed to, though, right? So, I think that's a really good point. I think that ultimately, it's not just responsibility of the. But the sidewalks, especially the upkeep, we have ordinances that mean no peeling paint, no, you know, there are certain things. I had a storefront myself for years, and you have to do those things yourself. There's an expense.
I know from my own experience.
You did, yeah.
There were things that when I had my businesses that I wanted done, the landlord was not so willing to do it. But because I didn't like the way it looked and I thought it hurt business, I did it.
Right.
And that's the mentality that the landlords have. They know you'll do it.
Yeah.
You know. So there, yeah, but I think it could be an opportunity to
could you just do a few bullets for us in line of like the how you envision the thing progressing?
Sure.
I think that would help everyone. So we just kind of approach this thing step by step with some semblance of guidance. And then go from there.
Sure.
That would be very helpful.
Absolutely, I will.
As we consider amending our ordinances, what it's going to result is more uniformity in terms of what the facades will look like in the areas. But we have a golden opportunity coming up very shortly where we're going to be reconsidering the master plan. And one of the things that I always felt was lacking was there wasn't enough discussion about areas of the city, be it neighborhoods like the Heights, North. So what we hopefully will do is start describing the various business areas in the city, trying to give them an identity, and then as we present the master plan to the public, business owners can respond and say, yeah, we agree or we disagree with this potential vision. And I think when you have that vision with the uniformity of the ordinances, we can create quite an attractive set of various areas, because all these business areas are not the same.
Right.
And they need to have some kind of common unity. And I think through the master plan, that identity can begin to be identified and get that feedback from not only the public, but also business owners.
Right. I know one of the things that some businesses have expressed to us, and which is why they put rope lighting in, is that there are business districts that really have poor lighting.
Right.
So,
I don't know. That's the best advertisement this whole city can do in the business district, is to light it up like Castle's, that one
right.
block at Castle's.
And if one more person tells me about Castle's block, and I have to explain to them why that block looks so lovely, they don't understand that we don't have somebody that has come in and bought a whole block of commercial properties and have developed it to their liking. I mean, these are individual landlords. And
right.
so there's no consistency. But I know, you know, we put rope lighting, Zora's put rope lighting, because there's no good lighting out there.
Right.
So one of the things you might want to put in with the ordinance for the businesses is that they have to have exterior lighting. If it's not coming from the street lights,
right.
Then it has to come from the businesses. And that's a safety issue also.
Yeah, like this kind of lighting, these kind of, because it's hard to see, but there's these kind of...
They're beautiful, the acorn
it.
Lights.
That's it,
that's yeah. it right? That's it. That kind of old lantern style that bends down and it lights not just the window, but the sidewalk in front of it.
Right.
That gooseneck, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see it you see it throughout, and it does. You're right. That I think if we can get everybody that has the LED lighting to have these kinds of outdoor lights installed that light up their sidewalk at night. I agree. Our downtowns are very, very dark. And you don't
and
have
dangerous.
And you don't have somebody that's going to come in and put in pavers and street right. lights like they did in three blocks of
right.
Market.
And with awnings, I mean, you can get awnings that even have the light that comes down.
That's right.
In front of them.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're more expensive, but I mean, that solves a dual problem. It shields them from the sunlight coming into their shops, but it also provides lighting at night for them. So, I mean, you know, that's another thing to consider as far as...
Now, this might not be everybody's cup of tea, but we have a store now in Avalon, and at night, they light up every single tree. Lights. And at first I thought it was a little bit hokey, but if you could imagine Ventnor Avenue at night of the summer with new trees and lights on all the trees,
sure.
that would put off some ambient light. It would also set us apart in some ways. And
Absolutely.
It really looks nice in Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, makes
are they
you,
solar or are they?
I think they're actually plugged
they're
in.
Plugged
so
in.
That's the trick of it, but I think you could do solar. Now in this day and age. So I'm going to look into that. I think it could be an interesting way to separate us from seeing some heads nod.
That would be awesome.
I think it would be attractive, right?
Right.
And in Rhinebeck, they do it around all these trees. They have an outlet at every tree, and they wind lights around the posts. But then at night, when you're there at night, you can sort of see it in the bottom on that right-hand picture. It creates a walkway, like there it is in the tree. Every tree has Christmas lights on it. And that's a little bit much, but I mean, it looks really, really nice at night.
You know? Longwood Gardens does that, but they're
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
One of the things that perhaps is a thought of is that there's buildings, and part of our master plan is replacement of obsolete buildings. Now, not all the buildings in these zones are in good shape, and some need to be replaced, others can be renovated.
Right.
So we keep this downtown, the community feel, but there's a mixture of that. And then whether we have some design criteria or ideas for storefronts, or how they should, the limitations, I say, or criteria, how they should look, not so much, we don't meter it, we don't set it, but there's limitations to design that gives us, you know, certain size openings, some minimum size openings, other things like that
mm-hmm.
can help the district evolve in a much better profile in the future.
Yeah, so not all those things are going to go by the board. They're going to go, if they're all, like, if they're all by right, they're going to go through the planning, the code enforcement, right? So I think that's where we have to get our ducks in a row, so that we have that, we have those bullet points: awnings, out exterior lighting, clear signage, types of architectural details. And I think we have to pump the brakes a little bit. I think one of the things that, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but I think one of the things that separates Ventnor a little bit is that we are a little bit more casual. We don't have that.
We're not as bougie.
We're not as stuffy. We're not as bougie there. So it's like there are some unique characters to the buildings that I think is part of our charm, you know. So I wouldn't want to make it look like a stucco shopping mall and one thing after another.
I agree with you 100%.
I think that uniqueness of our the architecture, I think you can skip a lot of the 70s architecture where, you know, T111 was covering the buildings, but there's certain areas that, like, there's some good examples. Mike's building, 7311, you know, those are facades that have stood the test of time and really look nice.
But even new work
can look like that.
The existing, more or less match into the existing work is what I'm trying, I guess I'm trying to express.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that, so there's some, just some continuity, or we express some, what we're looking for in the, like what you were just describing within the community, so that when people design things or look at it, they take that into note.
Right.
And that's what this discussion needs to embody also, and within the ordinance it needs to embody that too.
And one of the, I think, points that have been made that we're not focusing in on it is that all this will encourage more pedestrian traffic. Now, traffic and parking, not traffic, but parking, is such an issue. Almost every application we consider, people complain about parking, parking, parking. Now, how are we going to get people to these various businesses if parking is an issue? Is we have to encourage pedestrian activity. We have to do things, and I think with what we're considering with these ordinances and bulk requirements, that we will do things that will encourage more people to want to walk.
Right.
And take advantage of what's being offered by the various businesses.
And we've noticed there's more pedestrian, walking, because we used to be able to count the amount of people that walk in front of Sundays, and now it's nonstop all day long.
That's great.
They walk from Water Dog, and then they come down to us, and then they, you know. So yeah, I mean, people, I think because they're used to walking in cities.
Right.
You know, they're coming out of New York and they're coming out of Philadelphia and they're used to walking. So, the walking, the pedestrian.
So let's enhance their experience.
Right, walking experience. And I think, you know, starting with visual things like the trees and maybe lighting the trees and planters and things to just make it, you know, I think everybody would love their facade to look like the facade of Sacco's and whatever's going into that building, you know, next to it, where Sacco's used to be. I mean, that's beautiful, but, you know, my landlord's not going to do that. I'll tell you that right now.
But we could, as, you know, as Lorraine said, you know, we could hold them to their feet to the fire and say, you know, that your building has deteriorated over time. These are the things that are wrong with it. That's what we did with the theater. We told them that we were going to tear it down, or they were going to have to
invest.
And that's how that's in a lot of ways how that happened. But we can put them on notice that.
Yeah. Just one more thing about planters. You're going to have to talk to Shelley.
Yeah.
I've had 3 phone calls.
About planters?
Planters.
Okay.
She feels that the beautification committee should be in charge of that. And I told her what we're doing basically is putting them in front of businesses. We're not following the green team because we're not the government. We're putting something that's pretty.
Right.
But if she wants to work with you, she has to abide by that. So
Shelley knows where to reach me.
Yeah.
One thing also to consider.
I'll call her.
It's her birthday today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's her birthday.
Okay.
There's one thing also to consider when the downtown areas go is the neighborhoods that surround both sides are the support
right.
for the downtown area. And with the new planning and so on, we're going to be working with those neighborhoods too. And so the success of the downtown is also how successful we make the reevaluation of the neighborhoods themselves with that, and how successful they are, because the disposable income of those neighborhoods then drives the merchants themselves.
That's
right. That's the relationship. So the other area we're dealing with, this is very timely. Mayor, it's very, very timely you brought this up, because now we're going to deal with both sides.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I appreciate what you said, Roman, about the master plan. I think that's another way to bring it more attention to it, give us more tools. We can refer to it with grant writing, things of that nature. So that all these formulas are things that it's time now.
And
it's time to make Ventnor a real destination. You know, we've gotten it to this point. It's time to take that next step and really take pride in the sense of place that we have here, in my opinion.
Okay.
We can do it.
So what's step one?
Step one, I think, is really getting these ordinances in line and sharing them with you and the rest of the VBA.
Right.
Step one that's underway tomorrow, like I said, is that the trees, trash cans, and poles are out by spring, summer. So those are two things that are front of mind right now.
Okay. All right.
And then hopefully we do it with the strength of the master plan and repeating these things to the business owners. And then once those ordinances are strong, I think we bring them out to a direct mailing to all the landlords that we identify. You can help us identify some of them, but I think we know who they are. And code enforcement, Carmel, I'm sure knows where to find them and those kinds of things.
Okay. Because I'd like to ask some of our businesses, if you have a problem landlord, or if you have a landlord who's uncooperative in helping your business,
right.
let us know, and we'll let the city know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because, like I said, I mean, some of these landlords, they just collect the checks and...
Joe can tell you, he's been in these buildings when the building becomes a problem. That's why we have an empty lot, right, next to the Shalom Pita.
And I'll tell you what, the building with the Shalom Pita's in is not the best building in that part.
Right.
It is what it is. There are a lot of old buildings.
Yeah, some of them are fire traps.
And that's, yeah.
Electric is just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of it.
What we need, you know. So those are the three things that we'll start.
Just use the extensions cords.
I'd love to hear what you have to say. Hearing from our professional planner would be great.
They see this on both ends of us, both enforcement and design and whatever, but just going through the city commercial district, I think one of the items that really needs to be looked at first is permitted uses. One family detached dwelling should not be allowed in the commercial zones. You're going to tear down a business and put a single family home there, and it's worth more money. Also, if you want to do a mixed use development in the city commercial zone, you need a variance. I think that should be easier to obtain.
Yeah.
In the city commercial zones.
100%.
The other issues you're going to run into is, I don't think it's the existing ordinances per se in regard to signage and stuff like that. You're also on a county road. For most of this, Ventnor Avenue up to Dorset Avenue.
That's right.
It's a county road. Dorset Avenue over.
Another fief.
They don't want anything in the right way. They don't want trash cans. They don't want lights. They don't want benches. They don't want pavers. They don't want any of that.
Yeah.
So that way, I think the city ought to be looking at getting grants to do streetscape projects. To me, what's going to make your downtown start to stand out is decorative lighting, street lights. Pavers or sand concrete, and we're going through that right now with an applicant in Margate, or trash cans, and get their approval. You're going to have to indemnify the county, which is to me no big deal if it's a city project.
Right.
But if you do, if you make one business owner do it, and 10 years later this guy does it, it's not going to match. I think it's going to be an overall project. And I think the easiest, the lowest hanging fruit would be to start with the streetscape projects, lighting and the benches, the planters, the trees.
Mm-hmm.
The other consideration that we really have to be cognizant of is we are in a flood zone. So your amount of glass on your new buildings, or if you have a new business, your glass can't be low because you have to put flood barriers up, so the glass has to be high. I know one thing in some of the other towns I worked in, and I'm seeing it now, there's a city where the downtown areas, you know, for new construction, hey, let's allow them to have like a 14-foot first floor elevation from floor to ceiling. That way, you can build a secondary sidewalk to get you out of the flood.
Hmm.
Later on, you can actually fill in that floorway over that first floor area if the requirements make it, instead of lifting that building. It's already built in. You know, all you need to do is raise the floor inside that commercial space. Flood proof. Done.
So the first floor ceiling height is 14 feet?
Right.
That, so it's a built-in envelope?
Right.
To raise
it. It has to be ADA, though. With that.
Correct.
So, you know, the question is how much you can get. That's why the dry flood proofing comes in.
Hmm.
Well, sort of. But that's why you have a secondary sidewalk with a ramp that services more than one building.
Okay.
So, like Atlantic City in those downtown shops, they have a secondary sidewalk. It's about 3 feet higher than the normal sidewalk. That was to comply with FEMA.
Hmm.
Could you show us like a photograph or something like that of something? That,
sure.
Yeah, if you could do it, because I don't think everybody really can visualize that, but it's a good idea.
You know, I mean, I think we have to be sustainable too, and going back to the point where enforcing existing commercial structures with the current standards when they've had signs in the windows for 40 years, having us come down here and say, I want enforcement in too, it's not usually well received.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then signs for square footage. Well, this guy had this square foot sign, oversized square foot sign for years and years. I, as a zoning officer, would approve a new sign at that same size because their grandfather did. But if we have design standards that are throughout the commercial zones and we adhere to it and they see that the city's doing their part by doing the streetscape project, I think people are going to want to jump on board more readily and be part of that than enforcing one building at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fine.
That makes sense.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, enforcing something backwards legally is always harder. Put new rules in place and then go to someone and say, hey, you have to update and do all this.
Right.
Like new stuff coming in.
Right,
it's a different story, obviously, if we have something.
And we pretty much have this in place already for the Northeast Ventnor Redevelopment Zone. We have the blade, we allow blade signs because we own the right of way. Again, that business will have to indemnify the city because it is, it falls down, hits on you in the head.
Right.
We're covered. Going back to the signs, like we were saying, in the Acme Shopping Center in Summers Point, they changed the facade, and the size of the sign is not based on the facade size. They want to, the size sign you're allowed on there will be dwarfed by the new facade. I have to send them to the zoning board because it's not permitted what they want to put on there. And I get what they're coming from. So I think if we can have a fluid type of ordinance in regards to signs and glass frontage and window stickers and decals, I think, but have some standards in place where like the blade signs.
Right.
We had this discussion, I think it was about a year ago, where we were talking about how we're going to light those and what's the maximum size and how high they have to be.
Right.
And again, just we're having a hard time sometimes enforcing the tables and chairs on the sidewalk so people can buy. It's an uphill battle. But I think once we set some standards for our downtown and get the county on board, I have an email into the county asking them about what they feel about the blade signs. I like the blade signs too. I think they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we are becoming more pedestrian friendly. You know, maybe even if we bump the curb out like another foot, because Ventnor Avenue is wide enough, we could probably do that.
That would be great because that would solve a lot of problems.
I think that's a big complaint for just the businesses that want to have outside dining. And I also think that people use it as a four-lane road from time to time.
Oh, they absolutely do.
So I've had people working at my house that almost get clipped trying to get out of their cars.
Right.
Because people use, because it's just wide enough to have two cars side by side.
Yeah. So when the county did the traffic signal study, through all Absecon Island, Longport, Cargate, Ventnor, they took that into consideration, where the width of Ventnor Avenue, why would it need to be?
Mm.
And they're talking about,